We present Big Jim and the Figaro Club, with Norman Rossington as Big Jim, Roland Curran as Harold Perkins, and Bernard Cribbins as our storyteller. Episode 3, On the Line.
Here. Remember how the Figaro Club shanghaied Harold Perkins' new car and shipped it out to sea like red sails in the sunset? It was a right caper, wasn't it? What with our Harold getting involved in an onion fight with the sanitary inspector, blooming nearly had the local constabulary calling out the territorials. Still, it give the Figaro something to chuckle about next morning up the building site.
The daft backspinner to his smores, trying to convince the bogies his runabout's been pirated away. A bunch of Johnny Onion men.
And then he gets home and there it is, parked high and dry outside his back door.
I bet he thought he was going Doolally.
Says in the paper, horse called Doolally going to 3:30. What do we all fancy then, Terps?
Are we sixpence and bagpipe lady?
Right, Ned?
Flippence each way on Bakewell Tar.
Yeah, and a tenner for me on that sweater girl.
No, young Nimrod. Just you stay away from the horses, especially fillies.
What you fancy then, Jim?
Shilling on Nuns Nasty, maybe. Tell you what, though, chick. If young Plonker don't come up the site collect our bets, be no point in us picking out no winners.
So he's a bookies runner, not a cross-country runner. Not worth his while, flogging all the way out here just for a few bob wee lays out.
Heave to, old hands. Gaff is clear in the horizon.
Come on, Terps. Down by the riverside.
Hey, I do hate this shovel.
Surely old musty master tumbled. It was that's what set him up losing his car.
Shut up, Nimrod. Morning, Mr. Perkins. Everything all right?
No, it bally well ain't, Mr. Crompton. You ain't completed my side office. Team of blindfold gypo pole squatters do better than you lot.
Oh, blimey, Mr. Perkins, be fair. We ain't got no proper stuff. Look at me, pulling nails out of tumble-down chicken houses and bashing them out straight so Jim can use them.
I'm not in the habit of discussing matters of eye policy with no puppy dog of a T-boy, sonny.
That's right, though, Mr. Perkins. Slow old going, making something out of nothing.
That's the trouble with the working class. He's nothing but excuses. And you?
Who, me?
Yes, you, second-hand scarecrow. Why ain't you got that carsy finished? What happens if his worshipful mayor comes up here and gets took short?
Well, don't blame me, Sithy. I'm packed gravel and clay. Don't they know out about geology?
See, excuses. Listen here, you dirty old derelict. Get stuck in.
That's what Mildred Allroyd always said of a Saturday night.
And where's them other two layabouts?
Been sorting out the stuff they scavenged. Brought it across the river in our Richard's boy. Finishing touches for your office, dare say. What you got there, lads?
Flagstones. For Mr. Perkins' site office floor.
Oh.
And sheets of glass for your windies, Mr. Perkins. Oh, be like a stately home you can.
Yeah, well...
Wasn't easier, no? Bloomin' heavy flagstones is.
It's been a lot of trouble. Entitled to a spit and a draw and a long set doon in a...
Oh, no, you ain't, you lazy Scotchkin. Now listen here, the lot of you, and listen with both lugs. I am anticipating the imminent installation of me telephonic communication with the outside world. So I do hereby require that you afford to the agents of the General Post Office every possible assistance if they comes during me absence.
What's he on about? I've forgotten all me understand, is it?
Having phone put in.
Furthermore, in order to expedite all outstanding executive procedures in connection with the aforementioned installation, I now intends to betake myself in me motor car to utilise a public telephone kiosk.
What?
Going in his jalopy, get on the blower, see it gets done.
Wonder of the modern age, wasn't it, red telephone box? All you needed was two pennies. Proper pennies, I mean. Good old heavy clods, not them bits of joke money we've been conned into. You dropped them in, and when you got through, you press button A, and bingo.
Borgampton Town Hall. That you, Ethel?
No, it ain't Ethel. Connect me with Mr. Jeremy Armitage, the borough surveyor, telling him as how his clerk of the works would have words.
I can't do that.
Of course you can. All you do is... yank one of them wires out and bang it in a different hole. I've seen it in the pictures many a time.
I'll put you through to the clerical division.
Unreal.
Oh, Bert. I know it's you. I can tell by the way you're breathing hard.
If I'm breathing hard, young miss, it's because I'm having to deal with mere minions and underlings and me danders getting riled. Kindly put me through to the Borough Surveyor pronto.
What you need is extension 99. Hold on.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to get you on a slow boat to China. Hello?
All right. Who am I being palmed off with this time?
Miss James, the Borough Surveyor's Secretary. Give your name, please, and state your business.
Oh, Perkins H., Clerk of the Works, Bridge Farm site. It's about getting me telephone installed. So kindly put me through to Jeremy, so I can get him to pull some strings to get me phone done quick.
Jeremy? Who do you think you are, calling Mr. Borough Surveyor by his handle? Not even his mother ever called him that.
Oh dear. Well, Miss James,
Something straight, Mr. Perkins. Site telephones are allocated and installed according to the routine established between the Boghampton UDC and the General Post Office. Neither you nor the Archangel Gabriel could jump the queue.
I didn't mean to cause no offence to nobody, Miss James. It was just that, an important building project and...
There's a principle involved, isn't there? And a principle is a principle.
It's perfectly correct, Miss James. I'd be the very last person in the world to deny that. But, wouldn't I be grateful if you...
I'll mention it to Mr. Borough Surveyor. That's as much as I can promise. Goodbye.
So much for the triumph of communications. Took old Perkins good part of the morning to get halfway to nowhere. And meanwhile, up the building site, the lads are having a nice natter.
Often thought I might keep a few racing pigeons. Bit of spotlight. Mm. Hey, and if you had your coop alongside your allotments...
What the doings on your rhubarb?
Oh, blimey, I like to drop a custard myself.
Perkins ought to have some homing pigeons. Send his messages down to town hall.
No, he might do worse. What I've heard from the line gang blokes, the GPO got a list as long as your arm. High-up officials all threaten to have their phones put in, but there just ain't no answers. Like gold dust.
Oh, watch out, Shagnos is back.
Come on. Yeah, Mr. Perkins, cars is finished, love. Right, Ned?
Aye. The Nawab of Patani Senna be proud to sit in there.
Yeah, your site office too. How about this then? Yeah. Fancy barge boards to your gable ends, complete with Gothic finials for your phone line, see?
Oh, very nice, I'm sure.
Oh, what's up then? Not getting your phone or what?
Oh, yes. Of course I'll be getting my phone. I made them sit up and take notice, don't you worry.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you blokes, watch points. Tell you what, Mr. Perkins. Mm-hmm. When I was in the Navy, we didn't just depend on newfangled things like phones and wireless and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Unreliable, see?
You can say that again.
What you want, see, is summit pro tem till your phone comes to link this site with the town hall.
Yeah. Like what?
A heliograph. Like we had in the service. All done by mirrors.
Tell you what we had in the garbles. Bonfires on the roofs. Smoke signals. Aye, seen for miles.
When I were a drummer boy at Boer War, we sent messages in cleft sticks. If Mr. Perkins had a row of barefooted native boys outside yon office, he...
No. Pigeons be favourite. Build a coop on top of Mr. Perkins' office roof.
No, I've got it. Well, we've got the river bog right here, haven't we?
That's right.
Yeah, and the bog flows right past the town hall, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Right then. Mr. Perkins writes a note like... Well, put up tea boys' wages, stuffs it in a bottle, bungs on the stopper, lobs it in a river.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. And who's going to be looking out of the town hall windows for floating bottles, his worshipful?
Mr. Perkins is dead right. Ain't practical, Nimrod.
I should think not indeed, Henry.
On the other hand, you could send a carrier pigeon ahead to the town hall, warning them that a bottle's on its way down.
Nay, let pigeon carry cleft stick in its beak.
Why not put a photograph of my smoke signal in the bottle?
I ain't having no pigeon of mine carrying bottles on the end of cleft sticks.
Well then.
What?
Teach the pigeons how to swim.
All right, yes, I get it. All very comic cuts. But see here, you useless lot. I can do without your soppy suggestions, so just you get on with your work while I get on with mine.
Come on, lads, let's get back to it.
But of course, Perkins hadn't got no work to do, had he? So off he skedaddles down the Conservative Club to do his daily bit of social climbing and nest feathering, leaving the Figaros to brew up. And, nothing daunted by their gaffer's lack of appreciation for their brainwaves about lines of communication, they soon start to move on from theory to practice, so that when Perkins gets back to the site eventually, he finds it devoid of any form of life, except for old Ned, who is at the alert, scanning the horizon for some sign or portent.
I might have known, not a stroke being done. Right. This time there's going to be ructions.
Hang on a more, Gaffer. Message coming through.
So Perkins shields his eyes and he gazes into the distance. And what does he see on a far-off rooftop? But a tiny figure waving a pair of semaphore flags about. Of course, it's all mumbo-jumbo to Perkins.
What's it mean? What's it mean?
Governor, bent, needs fixing with monkey wrench.
Henry, you're... Who says I'm bent?
Nay, Mr. Perkins, sir. A governor is part of a ship's engine, Siddy. Jim Crompton was chief petty officer in engine room. It was like this here. While we was having us nosebags, we all decided to help you out, like, and make a direct link of communication with town hall. So young Nimrod, up on clock tower, and Jim and Chicken Turps on high points, twixt here and yon, all with flags...
In council's time, I ain't never heard nothing like it.
But we thought we'd please you. Seeing as there's no proper work to be done. Well, only because there's a limit to how much titivating five blokes can do to a Kazi and a sight-up made over from old Chicken House.
This is a disgrace and an outrage. I should be well within my rights if I was to give you all the gooner. As it is, I intend to display clemency.
Yeah, that's sweet nice of thee, Mr. Perkins.
By merely docking the lot of you half a day's pay.
What?
I now propose to betake myself to the wages office in the town hall to make bally certain that the said deductions be effectivated as of this week's pay packet. There, I've uttered.
Half a day's pay. Old Ned could hardly believe his ears. And nor could the other Figaros when they got back and old Ned told them what Perkins had said.
Half a day's pay? The spider! Oh, after all we've done for him, he can't do that, can he?
Yes, son, he can. What's more, he will.
Sure. But it wasn't for our health that we scaled them heights. No, I'm telling you. It was for his sole benefit that we all risked injury to waggle them flags.
Yeah, that was it. Right.
Well, here's one who ain't having it.
But you don't mean...
I calls on Figaro.
Right. One call on Figaro.
Every bugger call on Figaro.
Oh!
Well, of course, if the Figaros took their solemn oath for revenge, it was long odds against Perkins escaping. And talking of odds, you remember how hard it could be to get a bet on them days before the betting shops? All right for nobs, they run up credit with their turf accountant, right? But there was no off-course betting for your ordinary working bloke. He had to rely on a shady character who's passed into history, your bookie's runner. Trouble was, the Figaro's bookie's runner, a 20-stone youth named Plonker, had started to get browned off with the job.
Biddy Gonzalez!
Blue smoke!
Watch it, Plonker, if you didn't think you wasn't coming.
Dead right and all.
What you mean?
Oh, stuff this for a game of soldiers. Oh, I'm knackered. All for the sake of... How much you lot got to lay out between you?
3 and a tanner. Here you are. Cash and slips complete.
No. I ain't taking no new bets.
Hey.
Here's your winnings from yesterday.
Hey!
But that's it. 3 and a tanner. Cool, what's my commission on that, eh? I'll tell you. Tuppence. Oh, that governor of mine, he's tighter than a duck's doodah. And that's watertight. So I'm jacking it in. I've seen the light. I'm an ex-bookies runner.
Oh, what are you doing said then, Plonker? Not many jobs for a bloke your size.
Yeah, standing for the council steamroller. Yeah. Jobs? Oh, not me, mate. Be 20-year-old come Goodwood Week, and I want to retire before I'm 21.
They'll marry a rich widow.
Aye, one that owns a brewery.
And it can be hard grind widows.
He'd be a politician then.
Nah, he's a good bloke.
Come on then. What are you going to be?
Yeah, come on.
Well... I'm going to be what Boghampton's always needed.
Oh.
What every other town's had since the war ended.
Yeah.
A kind of public servant, I suppose, yeah. I'm going to be...
Going to be what?
A spiv. Wide boy. General dealer, if you want a posh name for it. Only one way to get round these here post-war shortages.
under the counter gear. Dodgy tackle. Fell off the back of a lorry touch. My motto, what money buys, Plonker supplies.
Now you're going to get started.
Yeah, you need one of them Technicolor ties for a kickoff.
And one of them big trilbies.
And a suit you can hear 5 miles away.
And a bit of a bomb sight light. Put your office on. Ooh, and a lock up.
And working capital, get hold of a bit of stock.
Yeah, give the lad John 3 and a tanner and we'll be directors of his company.
Yeah, all right, you can laugh. But when I bought Boghampton Towers and you see me lighting me cigars with fivers like them swells in the Beano, I hope you remember to laugh on the other side of your faces.
Yeah, still ain't easy to set up on your own. Need stuff to sell. And the readies to buy it. Cash on the nail. Because nobody ain't going to give you no credit.
Nah. I got it all worked out. I'm flogging your actual war surplus, see?
Oh. Oh, can you guess one of them battleships?
Ah, shut up, Nimrod. I reckon Plonker's serious.
I am, mate. Dead serious. Listen, I've had this planned for ages. You know the army depot road to Flagginhampton? Yeah. Well, I got in with a quartermaster named John Scragg. Monkey face, dead crooked. Give him credit for months, right? Didn't place none of his bets, did I? Me governor knows nothing about it. And Mushty's a dead mug punter and keeps on losing, right? So when he's run up a nice juicy debt, I starts like, well, you know, slightly putting the wind up him, saying, the heavy mob's coming up their married quarters one night. But then I says, look, drop us off a load of surplus war department gear, Scragsy, and we'll call it quits, right? Smallish stuff, easy to shift, just enough to fill a 1,000 weight truck. Come last night, didn't it? It's in me back garden now under a tarpaulin. I'm in business.
Oh, well, good for you.
Yeah, fine for some, isn't it?
Ah, Jack's all right.
Ah, there'll be a lot of hardships, if they.
I don't know how life will go on.
What are you on about?
A man could go berserk if he can't get a bet on.
Yeah. See, Plonker, what are we going to do for a flutter? Because whoever takes your place ain't running up miles to this site neither.
Listen, fellas, before long there ain't going to be no more bookies runners. You'll just have to open an account with a turf account.
Look, Plonker, that sort of thing ain't for the likes of us. Opening accounts? That's more for your toffs, isn't it? Yeah. Blokes in spats.
Nah, you're still living in the past, Jim. Blimey, what you fight the war for?
Well, Hitler and that.
You fought the war so as we do away with your class structure. So you could have a tanner daily double, same as the knobs. And no hole in the corner stuff. And no Herbert of a bookies runner having to dodge the rozzers. Just pick up the phone and lay your bets. All legal. Blooming paradise. Lots of working blokes got accounts these days. Why not you?
Well, for a kickoff, we ain't got no phone.
Not even Perkins got a phone.
Yeah, we can't go swanning off down a public kiosk whenever he feels like it, like he do.
We'll just have to face life with without the GGs.
Surely somewhere there must be a like an oasis in desert, or a crock of gold at the end of the rainbow, or a sunken Spanish treasure chest. See the eye, there must be a pile, a great heap, a great cornucopia of
Ah, what old lad. Fivers, tenors, wads of crinkly 10-bob notes.
Nay, what keeps an old man like me going on through life? It's not the thought of riches. It's wondering if I've won fourpence on 3:30. So surely somewhere there must be a great stockpile, a hoard of cash, of them there telephones.
Matter of fact, Ned, there is.
Oh, where?
Me back garden. The stuff I got from Monkey Face Scrag. Great load of army surplus signals gear. Look. I'll give you an handset and a drummer cable. And you're well in with the GPO line gang forming, ain't you, Jim?
Yeah, good old shipmate of mine, old Archie.
Bung him a pint, he'll look you up.
Our own telephone. Crumbs. Hey, where should we have it? Tea up? Carsy?
I'll decide that later. Tarp, Plonker. Very good of you, I must say, to give us a phone.
Well, when I says give you a telephone, I mean, I don't want no money for it.
That's handy. Seeing as our governor's stopping us half a day's pay.
But I wouldn't say no if you done me a slight favour in return, as the saying goes.
Anything we can do, Plonker, you just have to say.
Well,
You know I lives with my gran?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, be ruction she finds out I got black market tackle hidden behind her runner beans. You lot and your lorry help me shift it tonight to my special hiding place.
No, father, my son. You do that for you. It's a great discipline.
So, that night, as promised, they shifts Plonker's merchandise to a barn near the building site. And the rest of the week passes with Perkins still pining for his telephone, and the Figaros all biding their time and trusting in Big Jim's promise of revenge. Then, Saturday noontime in the anchor, after they've knocked off for the weekend...
Right, you blokes. This one mine. Cheers.
Cheers, Jim.
Cheers, Jim.
Cheers. Cheers. Oh, fixed it with Archie then, Jim.
He's on his way now to Plonker's barn to pick up our handset. Have it installed in old Perkins' office, two shakes of a lamb's tail. Be hooking up the line across the river, one treetop to another.
Yeah, well, I still don't see why our phone has to go in Mushdie's office, blimey. Yeah, and we've still got to work it out to get even.
We will, don't you fret. Now then, you blokes, this plan of ours will need split-second timing. Doctor, 3 o'clock, where'll you be, Ned?
Temperance Billiard Hall.
Chick.
Marketplace.
Terps.
Football ground.
Nimrod.
And scout up, jumble cell, Jim.
And I'll be in the picture drawing. That's all the most crowded places in Boghampton. Then, we all rendezvouses, 3:15, my lorry, corner Catchball Street, right?
Right, Jim.
So, Nimrod, at 2:15, you commence operations.
Right.
You'll be accidentally, on purpose, walking your dog past Perkins' place.
Yeah.
Bound to be cutting his lawn about then.
What's it, Mr. Perkins?
Henry Yule, where did you spring from?
Oh, we've been ratting up the heath, haven't we, Gippo? Yeah. And I've seen how your phone's been put in. It must have come after knocking off time.
Gibberish, clear off. And take that stinking tripound with you.
Oh, he ain't no tripound, are you, Gippo?
You really mean it about the telephone?
Oh, straight up, Mr. Perkins. I'm just on my way to tell Mr. Crompton.
What? You keep your prod nose out of the affairs of us pars. What bit?
Yeah, he'll be up that site office like shale off a shovel, Gippo.
It's true. My own telephone line over the river to the gothical finicles on my office roof. My handset. Oh, but who can I phone of a Saturday afternoon? Be nobody at the town hall. None of my friends got an apparatus, but... Well, I've got to talk to somebody. What'll I do? Well, no. I'll dial my date of birth, see who I get. Six.
Boghampton Sewage Farm? Yes?
Well, old Perkins wanted was to prove how important he was, having a phone, like. So, time passes by while he dials lots of random numbers and is in a little megalomaniac's world of his own while, come 3 o'clock, down the billiard hall...
Don't say out, Harry, but there's a room here can get black market fags and billiard chalk up at Bridge Farm site. Spiv with a dash!
And in the market square...
Nylons and parachute silk for making cami knits.
Shh! That's what they say. Bloke with a tash.
Come on, girls!
And at Boghampton Stanley Football Ground...
Crates of bananas, you say?
So I heard, ref.
And at the jumble sale...
I ain't had a bit of fudge since 1939. Where you say, Sonny?
Bridge Farm building site. Mushing a wax tash.
Right.
And in the one and ninepennies...
I know you still love me. And it
tell you what else I heard he got, nor Mrs. Sidebottom.
What's that, Mr. Crompton?
Only pre-war knicker elastic and corn plasters. Yeah. Yeah, sir.
And in a site office containing neither fags, nor billiard chalk, nor nylons, nor parachute silk, nor bananas, nor fudge, nor knicker elastic, nor comb plasters, an unsuspecting wax-tashed clerk of the works enjoys his new toy for just a few minutes longer.
Let's try me waist measurement and me inside leg now.
Hey.
interference on the line. I shall contact the operator and complain. What's happening outside?
Here, what the blimey?
Oh my God, I've got to shout through my letterbox at them. Here, now then, what you lot want? I'll have you know you're trespassing on council property.
Get... We want bananas! We want
bananas! I can't see no bananas! Henry, all I ain't hanging about in here no more. I'm out the back through the window. Here. Yeah. Oh, it's Exy. Yeah, that's not fair. That hurts.
Hey, that was my comms. Here. Someone help me. Oh, God. Someone help me. Help. Help. Help.
And miraculously, as it seemed to Perkins, help was at hand. Here comes the Boghampton Cavalry.
Come on, Mr. Perkins!
Over here, Mr. Perkins!
Come on, Mr. Perkins!
Oh, Mr. Crompton! Oh, there you are!
That's it, Mr. Perkins! Pick yourself up! Grab all the side of the way! Right hands! One, two, six!
Oh, thank you. I can't understand it! What did I do? To have a mob attack me!
Blimey, what a state you're in. Them trousers!
Good job we came along. They'd have torn your limb for a limb.
Aye, just think. If we hadn't come to have a deco to see if Nimrod was right about the phone being put in.
So, Perkins got what was coming to him. And a telephone too, mind. And the good folks of Boghampton got a bit of Saturday afternoon exercise. They wasn't too happy at first that they didn't get the goods they was after, but they had a laugh about it, like the lads did. Because that's how we went about things in them far-off days of the Figaro Club, before the world turned lax and sour.
You've been listening to Big Jim and the Figaro Club, starring Norman Rossington as Big Jim and Roland Curram as Harold Perkins. Old Ned was played by Harold Goodwin, Nimrod by David John, Chick, David Beckett, and Terps, Sylvester McCoy. Miss James was Carol Hawkins, Plonker, Stephen Garlick, Harry, Stephen Harold, and the Town Hall typist, Karen Asco. Big Jim and the Figaro Club was narrated by Bernard Cribbins, written by Ted Walker and Colin Rose, and produced by Martin Fisher.